Teachers Talking Tech is a podcast by teachers for teachers. The podcast is fully funded by us, Mike and Eric, and we are not sponsored by anyone. So you know that when we share something, we believe that it is good for students and good for teachers. If you like what you hear, take a moment and donate through PayPal to brown145@yahoo.com. We appreciate your support.
Welcome to Teachers Talking Tech. I'm Eric Robinson.
I'm Mike Brown.
And today we have a special guest teacher with us. She came all the way from next door.
The classroom next door.
Her name is Marie Larson. And the reason we asked her to come here is because today we're going to be talking about student choice in the classroom. And I often ask Marie for ideas on how to do this because I feel like, you know, any teacher you ask them, they're like, oh, I'm bad at everything. But when other people watch them, like, no, you rock at this. So I know Marie's going to say this like, well, I do this a little bit, but she is really great at this. So
thank you.
You are welcome. You are welcome. So the reason I wanted to talk about student choice is Mike and I were talking, and we're talking about kind of our New Year's resolutions for like technology and innovation, things like that. And this is one of my big ones, is that I want to find tons of ways that I can give my kids more choice in the classroom. Do you have a goal for your kids or a goal for yourself for this new year?
Well, I think for my students, it kind of goes along the line with student choice. I want the students to, when they're completing an activity of some kind, to choose what medium they want to use, whether it's written, whether it's digital, which application they'd like to use to put it together. Because I don't want all of their finished assignments to all look exactly the same. And the only way to tell them apart is by their name on their paper.
Yeah.
I want them to really put themselves into those assignments because you can show your learning in hundreds of different ways. And that's what we talk about all the time. But the students don't always understand that they can do that. So
yeah,
getting them to understand and actually then do it that way, that's what I'd like my students to be able to do this year.
All right. And one of my other resolutions is to block out kids yelling in the hall
while
we are recording.
It's recess time. They're on their way to recess right now. So.
Yeah. Wow. Anyway, this is our fancy recording booth.
Just get kids waving at you through that window.
Yeah, that's right. That's right. All right. So, Marie, you've been teaching second grade for
this is my second year in second grade.
In second grade. That's right. Yeah. You taught like younger kids.
It's our first kindergarten, young fives. I'm making my way up.
Okay.
Making my way up to grades.
There you go.
Yeah. So you're not as seasoned as Mike and I quite yet.
I mean, not yet. I'm
seasoned
still learning.
Is old, but that's fine.
That's right. So why is student choice important to you? Like what is it about student choice that really drives you to make sure you include it?
Well, and I think teaching second grade, too, I realized, you know, last year how independent they can be. And creating that independence and more of like an autonomy in my classroom was my personal goal for the school year this year. And I think I wanted it to be, I mean, for myself, make it a way that kids can show what they know in the best way possible for them. And also, I mean, less questions for me, like put it more, you know, I'm more of a facilitator. I'm not the one standing in the front all the time, you know,
yeah,
directing and dictating what they do. So, and I think kind of what Mike said earlier about his goal, I mean, I don't want to put students in a box. And frankly, they have better ideas than I do anyway,
right. Usually.
And so for me to show what they know in the best way that, you know, the way that's best for them has been really powerful this year.
Yeah, and I think it comes back to like the only way for kids to practice independence is to practice it.
That's right.
Mm-hmm. And it's not always pretty, right?
It's most of the time not pretty.
Yeah.
You know, and Eric, we talked about this at a staff meeting not too long ago in regards to behavior, but it kind of goes along with what you were saying about practicing independence. We're not going to hand a kid a book and show them how to read a word once and then expect them to read all the words in the book. They need to practice. And the same thing goes for independence. You're going to have to show them over and over and model it and demonstrate it and give them a chance to practice and fail and practice and fail, because every time they do that, they're going to get better at it.
Yeah. Yeah. So, all right. I know there's people out listening, and even me, when I first started doing this, because I just started this a few months ago where I was trying to just give my kids an idea of what to do and let them go for it. Mm-hmm. What are some examples of, like, how do you do this? Or what are some examples that your kids have done?
So I think starting in the fall even, I was very intentional in how I taught different apps or showed kids different tools. And it was more a way of, this is a way you can use this tool. This is how you can use this tool. So the first part of the year, it was more me kind of dictating assignments, giving an assignment. And for this one, I want you to use this tool. Here's this app. And just giving them the freedom to play around with it a little bit before using it in an actual assignment. So then they had this toolbox of things, and we made a list of tools that they had and ways that they could do. And then after, you know, I've taught them different things. We use Clips. We taught them how to use Book Creator. Different, even just on Seesaw, you know, with things like that. And then, you know, paper and pencil is always an option too. Then the assignments we're doing now, I'll teach something. For example, we're doing how-tos right now. So we did a how-to, and then their final project, they got to choose. And we make a rubric as a class, and we build it together. It's not something I've already built. It's very organic. So they have their must-haves, and then there is also a list of things they can choose. So then, you know, half the class is using maybe an app, but half the class is using no technology at all.
Gotcha. And, like, how do you manage that? Like, when it's going on in your classroom, I'm assuming kids are all over the place, probably a little bit noisy, but in a good way, right? So how do you manage that as a teacher to make sure that everybody's moving through, make sure if kids have questions, you're handling it? Like, what are some strategies you'd use?
Yeah, so I think, too, when we have the assignment, I've done the teaching piece of it, and they have the assignment, and they have the must-haves for the assignment. That's their checklist. So I've also been very intentional about making sure they have a plan before letting them go. So, you know, if we're doing the how-to, they're going to tell me, you know, what their topic is. They're going to tell me what they're going to try. And then they go off and try. And I let them try. And it gets messy. And, you know, for a little while. And then we pull them back and we go back through the checklist. Do you have this? Do you have this piece? And when they have the final product, I think also it's going through and editing it and going through the checklist. Did you hit everything that we talked about that was important?
Yeah. And I like that just because Mike and I have talked about before that a lot of the learning comes in between the beginning and the end. You know, and too often we are looking at the finished product rather than the middle.
Right. We're running the race to get to the end of the product. And you know what? In some cases, the product may never even get finished.
Yeah.
But the learning happened because the learning was the whole process.
Yeah, that's a great point, is that some products will look unfinished compared to what you might want them to look like, right? Mm-hmm. You want them to look polished and have, oh, it has a title slide and it has this and that. Yeah. But rather than focusing on that maybe as much in your rubric might be focusing more on, like, does it make sense to the person watching it or, you know, reading it, those kind of things, rather than worrying too much about polished product.
And I think, like, letting go of that as teachers is big, too.
It is.
Being okay with it. Seeing the learning that's happening and, no, this doesn't look beautiful. But they got a lot out of it.
Yeah. I feel like I've given a lot of control over the years up to my kids. But this felt like another plateau. Like, when I started doing this, when I just said, you know what? For this, you're just going to show me that you learn in any way you want. And go ahead and talk to some kids around you. Let's get some ideas going and then go for it. It was a lot to give up to say, like, you know, I couldn't even show them, like, here's my example. Because then, like Mike said, then they're just going to make them like you. And you just basically squashed that creativity. So, well, what are some, like, great things you've seen come out of this? Like, what are good things that have been happening because of it?
I think my room student-driven than teacher-driven. And I think, too, for me, they're even going to each other more than going to me. They'll, of course, go to me, but I've let go of, at the beginning, showing off an example or showing off a finished product unless somebody really needs one. And then I think, too, they're more willing to go to each other, and I think they're feeling more confident in their choice. There's less questions. I don't have 50 kids around me asking questions because they're doing it in a way that makes the most sense to them. So that's, you know, less questioning, and I think more more creativity. I'm just letting them go, and, you know, this is what we're supposed to be getting out of this activity, but do it in a way that is best for you.
Yeah, and I did this the other day where we were doing some how-tos as well, and just said, hey, you can do it however you want. And the cool thing was that the example started coming the second or third day, or, like, the, you know, the second time we got back to it, but they were coming from kids, not from me, you know? So then you have kids that have the opportunity to lead and kind of share their expertise with others rather than you, the person who already knows how to do it saying, here's how you do it.
Yeah, well, know? And like Mike said, like you don't have the same finished product with their names being the only thing that's different. And mm-hmm. and it builds off of each other. Like you said, when we come back as a group for that editing piece and we show what we have so far, kids build off of each other's work.
Yeah.
So, I mean, their, you know, their project might completely change because of something they saw someone else doing that they want to now try. Yeah. So it just, yeah.
And do you mind, like, if kids want to work together or by themselves, do you let them do whatever they want to do, or do you hem in at the beginning and say, you know, here's what I'd like to see it look like?
Yeah, and we do that as part of our rubric. So the rubric is, you know, the pieces of the project that need to be there, but then we have almost it's like the parts that you can choose. So like the choice piece of it is there. And if I want it to be a solo project, I might choose that time. But if I don't care, I'll say you can choose if you want to do a solo project or a partner project or a small group. So I, you know, you kind of tailor it to what you want, but I put that in there. These are your choices that you can do.
So what's another project that you've done besides how to? Because I started getting into it with that, but what's another example of just like something else you could just basically take away all of the structure of it to say, here, you guys go for it.
Yeah, so I mean, a skill of the week we were working on a couple weeks ago was writing dialogue. So we were practicing punctuation and writing dialogue. And the kids came up with the idea that they could show this by writing a story. So we had in our rubric, you needed to have at least two characters. They needed to have this many interactions. You needed to have an excited sentence, a questioning, a problem, and a solution. So they came up with all of this on their own. And then after that, you know, we came up with the different ways to do it. Some kids made a comic. Some kids were in Book Creator. They made a book. So, I had half the class just got out paper and pencil and just drew a story.
Yeah.
So
it was great. That's the thing. Like innovation, technology don't always go hand in hand, right? You got to let them really have choice.
Right.
Yeah.
So as a teacher, I'm ready to try this, but I don't know where to start. What are some tips you've got for teachers? You mentioned, you know, putting a rubric together. How else do you set up this for your students?
So, like I said, I was very intentional in how I gave them the tools. But I think, too, even if you create the rubric together, or it even could be you let them choose just pieces of it, or maybe for the first one, you create the rubric and you are in charge of the choices. Maybe you take it and then slowly just, you know, let the control go. Mm-hmm. So if you come up with the rubric or let them come up with pieces of it and then the choices, maybe it's just two choices. You can use this or this for this project. And then just keep building off of that. And then I think, like I said, the biggest thing is just being willing to let go.
Yeah.
Let go of that perfection and let go of maybe that final product isn't beautiful.
Yeah. Right. And I think, too, another thing that you kind of touched on at the beginning is you really have to explicitly teach the tools mm-hmm. early on so that it's not about the tech.
Absolutely.
Because if you're trying to teach the tech and give them freedom, the tools, you are going to have a headache.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and I know we've talked about apps that work well for this. Book Creator, big. Right? Book Creator's great.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
We've been using Clips a lot, and I really like Clips even more than iMovie because for sequential nature, like you can show the kids, like, oh, if you're doing first, then next, last, they can actually make a clip for each one of those, and it kind of divides up the work for them,
mm-hmm.
and I really like that. ChatterPix for creativity. There's a few more that we use, but really, even with just a few of those, my kids started using screen record on their iPads where they're actually recording themselves on their own screen, showing mm-hmm. how to use an app, stuff like that. It's amazing mm-hmm. when you just say like, oh, well, I don't know.
Right, it's something that you probably wouldn't have put out there.
No, I didn't even think about it. I thought, oh, that might be too hard. I won't even bring it up.
Mm-hmm.
But I had a couple kids that just knew about it and were like, and they just did it. And then I was like, oh, can you show that to the class?
And you've provided that autonomy in your classroom that if students come up with a great way to do something, they can do it. Mm-hmm. You've given them that freedom, which I think is awesome. Yeah. I think something Marie said that really hit home with me is that she was real intentional on teaching the apps or the tools.
Yeah.
I've made this mistake in the past, and this year I did a great job of not making this mistake. I'm really proud of myself. But I think, oh, I'm going to have my kids do this project, and they're going to use Book Creator, so I'm going to teach them Book Creator like in 3 minutes, and then I'm going to tell them the rubric and what they have to do on the project, and then they're going to get to go. Well, that doesn't work very well. You just need to teach them a little bit of Book Creator and let them have it for 45 minutes and play. Uh-huh. Yeah. And just let them learn Book
Figure
Creator
it out.
With absolutely no goal in mind at the end other than I know how to use Book Creator.
Yeah, if you think about how adults learn, if you give them a new tool, they want your guidance. When mm-hmm. you give kids a tool, they just want to play.
Right.
That's mm-hmm. how they learn best, and that really works well, I think, in the beginning. Uh-huh. And then later on, your expectations can change because they already know the tool. Now it's like, hey, let's use the tool.
Let's use it and use it the right way.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. One other thing here, devil's advocate here.
Uh-oh.
Yeah. So let's say, you know, in my district, for example, District X, my principal says we are all on page 7 at the same time. You know, we all have to be doing the curriculum together. That could be tough when it comes to this, right? Mm-hmm. That can be right. tough. And my only advice is that in the end, two things, like no parent is ever going to be upset with you because you let their child use their creativity and because you are really letting their child make choices. I mean, mm-hmm. parents will love that over that, you know, here's a worksheet that came home. It's like the last worksheet, right?
Right.
And I think in the end, as long as you communicate well with your administrator and you tell them why you're doing this, like what is the impetus that started this,
mm-hmm.
then I think you'll be on a solid ground to say, look, let me try this and let's see what comes of it.
Mm-hmm.
And you know, most administrators, if parents are happy, kids are happy, they will be happy. Right. Right.
Mm-hmm. And if you need to really get technical, I mean, you can pull out the outcomes. What are the outcomes that your state
yes.
requires for this unit or this lesson or whatever? You're going to meet those outcomes. It just may not look the same as everybody else's.
Right.
Yeah, exactly.
And I think you get a truer, deeper sense of student understanding
yeah.
when you let them show what they know in a way that best fits their style.
For sure. Yeah, we'll leave that there because that is it yep. in a nutshell. All right, well, we'd like to thank Marie Larson for joining us today. Thank you.
Thank you for letting me join you. It was fun.
Of course.
She usually peeks through the window at us when we're doing this. And now
usually
she
I'm the waver through the window.
Yeah, that's right.
Or I'm busting through
She's
the door.
She's the one yelling, stop running in the hole. Yeah, that's you out there. I knew it. Anyway, be sure to check out our YouTube channel. It's Teachers Talking Tech. You can visit us on Facebook at Teachers Talking Tech, of course. And then Teachers Talking Tech at Gmail if you want to email us. And our Twitter.
At Teach Some Tech.
All right, you can get us there. We'd love to hear from you. And we can connect you with Marie if you have more questions. Just let us know. Also, the last, I don't know if you heard the mini cast that I did. The mini cast, if you didn't hear it, is just an idea that I want to share with you in 5 minutes or less. So keep your eye out for those. And then there will be YouTube videos that come along with those. And we'll be sprinkling those in along with our other podcasts. So, all right. Well, I'm Eric Robinson.
I'm Mike Brown.
I'm Marie Larson.
Thanks for listening. See ya.